happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The news this hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 21 degrees in Richland Center at 9 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
Donald Trump's civil fraud trial in New York is getting underway again this morning. Closing arguments. The AP's Donna Warder.
Trump is accused of exaggerating his wealth on financial statements he provided to banks, insurance companies, and others. Trump says he did nothing wrong, didn't lie about his fortune, and he's the victim of political persecution. I'm Donna Warder.
Does Israel's war with Hamas amount to genocide against Palestinians? The UN's top court is hearing a case alleging that. The AP's Karen Shamas.
The judges have opened 2 days of legal arguments in a case filed by South Africa accusing Israel of genocide in its Gaza war. Israel rejects the allegation. In a statement after the case was filed last year, the Palestinian Authority urged the court to call on Israel to stop what it called its onslaught against the Palestinian people. Although it normally considers the UN and international tribunals unfair and biased, Israel has sent a strong legal team to defend its military operation in Gaza. I'm Karen Chamas.
They're trying to figure out why this happened. A plane carrying Gambia's national soccer team made an emergency landing in Africa after a sudden loss of oxygen. A coach who was on the plane said the team just barely escaped death. He said they were all getting carbon monoxide poisoning. Here at home, prices rose 0.3% from November to December. Housing costs accounted for more than half the increase. Food, gasoline, and electricity also pushed up prices. The number of Americans applying for unemployment dropped to its lowest level in nearly 3 months last week. Google has laid off hundreds of employees. They were working on hardware, voice assistants, and engineering teams. The idea is to save money, but the union calls it needless layoffs, saying Google makes billions every quarter. This is AP News. Now to the IRS. Is it too slow?
For the IRS, backlogs and identity theft are still problems, despite a funding boost, according to a watchdog. The IRS is still too slow to process amended tax returns, answer taxpayer phone calls, and resolve identity theft cases. That's according to an independent watchdog within the agency. The organization sent a report to Congress Wednesday that the backlog of unprocessed amended returns has quadrupled from 500,000 in 2019 to almost 2 million in October last year, and taxpayer correspondence and related cases more than doubled over the same period from almost 2 million to 4.3 million. The report comes shortly after the IRS announced that the 2024 filing season begins January 29th. I'm Julie Walker.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been serving the Southwest Wisconsin area since 1889. We pride ourselves on doing things the right way, paying attention to even the smallest details, and assisting your family every step of the way in your time of need. I'm Mark Jelenic. I am proud the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service still represents the values that have helped us be trusted and depended on for many generations. Learn more at PrattFuneralService.com.
Today's forecast calls for high temperatures in the upper 20s. It looks like west winds 4 to 8 miles per hour. Tonight, a low of 20. And snow developing after midnight, 1 to 2 inches possible by morning. Another 5 to 7 inches of snow during the day tomorrow. And 1 to 3 inches Friday night with an additional flurries to an inch early Saturday morning. A high Saturday of 20, bitter cold Sunday, and 3 degrees. In Richland Center, it is 21, up 2 from the overnight low after a couple of inches of snow. Made things very slippery this morning. Vark Roots under a two-hour delay. Also a two-hour delay remains for Riverdale Schools, the Richland District, including St. Mary and also Eagle School. Those delayed. And Ithaca is under a two-hour delay. Those were the three that we heard from early on today. Coming up, our morning show time.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Their business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. Visit Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The Richland County Historical Society has prepared a 2024 calendar with vintage pictures of one-room schools. Schools of Richland County by Steve Fogel appeared in the Republican Observer during the years 1952-1953. These are pictures of rural schools when he printed the histories of each in the paper, and those histories are available in the Richland County History Room of the Brewer Library. There are 46 total schools and 4 schools per month, with additional graded schools in the Richland County area included in this collector calendar. Printed by Hennig Printing with a laminated cover and bound with those collector calendars, they're available from any board of directors of the Richland County Historical Society for just $6 as a donation from the general public. Historical Society members, you can obtain the 2024 calendar for just $4 as a donation. Get yours as soon as possible. Schools of Richland County, a 2024 calendar from the Richland County Historical Society. Look us up on the web, richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
Just like no two people are the same, no 2 days are the same. We start them and end them at different times. And in between, we all do very different things. Yet there is something we all have in common. Knowing your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative is here to power every moment of every day. Because no matter when it starts, we never stop.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE focuses on the Riverdale School District. We've been making the rounds here over the course of the last week, talking to Ithaca and Richland and River Valley on our morning show. So it's only fair we see what's going on in Chieftain Country today. District Administrator John Schmidt joins us. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Phil.
Thanks for making it in here on an inclement day.
So. No, thank you for having me. As long as you take your time, we can get anywhere we want to go.
Right. So Riverdale is still running that two-hour late start. So
yes, we are.
Yep. Starting here before too long. So kind of go over for me the process this morning, because were you thinking last night there might be a delay, or how did you look at it?
Well, we knew we were going to get a couple inches of snow last night, so you're kind of monitoring that. And then every morning the roads are driven and we do an assessment and we kind of see where everybody's at. And today we just thought we needed a little bit more time to get the roads ready.
So do you have a kind of a network of people that you chat with in the mornings to figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a network of district administrators, and they're talking in different areas and seeing how their road conditions are. And then we're, we're looking ahead. Tomorrow looks suspicious. So we got that on our mind, and we'll kind of be talking that through and be making a decision as soon as we feel that conditions will not change.
You know, not often in the past, and I know you've been at this for a number of years, John, but not often in the past are you able to make a call the day before, but you did earlier this week. It was just so imminent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what you don't want to do is make a call and then have the weather change, and then that's happened a couple times, and so that's why we sometimes wait longer. It's like, hey, why don't you call it sooner? You know what's going to happen. Well, yeah, but we do tend to wait as long as possible, but then yet we understand we want to get the information out as soon as we know so people can plan, because we know that's a big deal.
Safety is the number one thing, isn't it?
Safety is the number one thing, and we tend to make decisions to side on the air of caution.
And when you cancel a day of school, it's not only that, but all the extracurriculars and everything else. So it's tough to kind of get all those things rescheduled, isn't it?
Yep, there's a lot of things that go along with it. So
yeah, indeed. So that's, look, I guess all we can say is stay tuned about tomorrow then, right?
Yes, yep, stay tuned. And, you know, the other thing that maybe I might want to mention is we do, that takes a little bit of pressure off, is like we have virtual days. And we normally, our first two days we call off is usually traditional snow days, because we appreciate that, you know, it's snow days. But then as we get further into it, then we'll start calling virtual days. And that saves us from making up time at the end of the year, because we got to get so many minutes in. The Department of Public Instruction requires us to get so many minutes in. So we have one more snow day left, and then we will be looking at doing virtual days.
So do you bank that one more day, or do you go ahead and use it when that, if that time comes up, and then, or what do you do?
We do our first two days are snow days no matter what.
Okay.
And we do have a little leeway. There's one time last year, I think we had a snow day the day before spring break, and we did not call a virtual day on that day. We got a little wiggle room in there with the minutes. So if a need comes up or something catches us by surprise, we can just go a snow day. But after the first two days, we'll start going virtual days.
So the school calendar, I'm guessing you're already working on that for next year.
Yep,
and
yep.
How's that looking for Riverdale?
Well, it'll be a change because we started early this year through an exemption, an early start date exemption through Department of Public Instruction due to COVID. We were able to start a week earlier, and that gets us out on Memorial Day, and which is great news. I don't know if we'll be able to do that again. They're still talking about that at the Department of Public Instruction. I don't probably foresee that, but there are some rumblings that they may give. They're trying to push through that gives some more flexibility to school districts for an early start date. That's something we've been asking for a long time. But, you know, that comes up almost every year. So we'll see where it goes. It's not guaranteed. It's probably the same as normal, but we can wish.
Right. And because it worked out pretty well this year, starting that week earlier, didn't it?
Yeah. And what happened is, like, several school districts had done that the past few years, and there was more and more. And it happened, you know, it was like, hey, let's try it. They're allowing that. And it happened without incident. We didn't get much kickback. And I think now there are a lot of communities that depend upon, especially in the tourist areas, that depend on that workforce during Labor Day. So what we're asking, you know, what DPI said yesterday that they're asking for, just more local control on the start date. So, I mean, maybe, you know, you take that Friday off. You don't have school on the Friday before Labor Day, so there's some flexibility, but you can start that week before that. And so you can kind of tailor it around your community.
I see. Has it been a good school year at Riverdale, John?
Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, it's gone fast. And since we started earlier, we're a little bit ahead. And we're just finishing up we're trying to get our semester finals in the last couple of days. So I think Mr. Campbell's made about 10 schedule changes. but we're working on it.
I'm guessing, yeah. I never thought about that. But that does get you to the semester quicker, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So you're working on that this week. It gives the kids more study time, though, if you have a day off, right?
Absolutely. I'm sure they're home studying in their rooms right now on their days off. So.
They might be. Well, let's talk about some of the district business. You had a school board meeting on Monday night. And can you tell us about what was talked about?
Well, the topic of conversation in a lot of districts at the moment is referendums. And in our district, it's operating referendum. And we have been looking at that. And, you know, we have a referendum out that runs to 26-27. But some things have changed since then. The fiscal cliff that's hitting us, the inflation, the work shortages, you know, it's becoming a question of not if we're going to go to referendum early, it's going to be when we're going to go. And this year, we realized we were going to have a couple years of a deficit budget. That's kind of an after effects of COVID. We had built up our fund balance so we can withstand that. We were able to put some money in back, save some money for deferred maintenance, but that still now can't be used to cover your day-to-day operating costs. And this year we have a deficit plan for $430,000. Next year it's looking like the number we're looking at is about an $800,000 deficit. If we maintain the programs the way we're running them now. So we got some decisions to make. We got a couple different times this year you can run it. Does not look like we'll be doing the April 1, but there's a time in August you can run one. There's a we'll have the presidential elections in November. And then there's also a the April 2025, so we'll be looking at those dates.
So this April would be a little bit too quick to put it all together, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, and we again, we can push it back another fiscal year for us. So I guess we're looking at the getting by next fiscal year in the deficit and then the following year running that. But, yeah, we'd start the process in August.
Kind of planning ahead.
Yeah, a little bit. And seeing where we stand with our community. Start educating people kind of the reasons why, you know, and I think it's not a surprise to a lot of people, the inflation that we've had to deal with. The last 2 years, it's been a 4.7%, and then it was 8% last year. Supply chain shortages are driving up all our costs. And then a big one is worker shortages and trying to get people in the door, especially for paraprofessionals, custodians, bus drivers, and even teaching staff. So it's different. It's a different game than it was 2 years ago.
Is it safe to say, John, that the Riverdale School District has operated pretty frugally over the course of the last 10 years or so?
Part of this is where we're getting hit now a little bit is our we had to increase positions with benefits, and that's something we cut back in in 08, 09 era when we failed a referendum or two. We went from full-time paraprofessional positions and custodial positions to 5.5 hours, which allowed us, it wasn't ideal, but we allowed us to save money on benefits. We did that until we couldn't fill positions, which ended up being last year. So now we're adding a lot of those benefits back just to get people in the door. And so, you know, it worked. And the number I think we were kicking around at one time that saved us was about $225,000. That was back in 2011, 2012 money. But now to keep the doors open, it costs more.
Yeah, it certainly does. The last thing you want to do is to cut staff, because I think you're kind of operating, you know, about what you need right now, right?
Every decision, we always look at our numbers. We always look at class sizes. If we would get to the point where we start making cuts, it's going to affect class sizes will be the one things. I don't want to get into that, but we're going to have to make, if you look at $800,000, it takes quite a few staff to make that up.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that you wouldn't be doing any building in this particular referendum you're looking at, right?
No, it wouldn't be a capital project at all. Although I did want to mention, and kind of a squirrel moment here, one project that we have slated that we have to get done here in the spring is that we have to resurface our track.
Oh.
And the history of our track was put in the mid-90s, and it's ending the year of its life. You know, I think we have one more coat we can put on, rubber coat that we can put on, hopefully. And then we have to strip all the coats off, address the asphalt that's underneath that, and then possibly rebuild that. So each coat of asphalt you put on is $80,000 to $90,000. If we have to redo the whole thing, probably double that amount. So it's kind of a time thing, and it's going to cost us more money if we wait. So I guess I wanted to throw that out there just to kind of inform everybody that that those are the type of regular maintenance that sometimes if you don't keep up with them, it costs you more money each year you push it off. You know, and that's a decision that we're always looking at. Can we push this off, or when do we have to do it? Where's the cost-effective point?
I think about the Riverdale track, and not only for the meets that you host, because you host some big ones, but I'm there all times of the year, and I see community people using it for a walking track. So it's very important for the Muscatine community, isn't it?
It's a great access to our community. I mean, on top of really complementing our campus, and a lot of people use it. And it's something that's got to be taken care of along with other maintenance projects.
So you're doing all right in terms of buildings and repairs and things like that?
The referendum that we passed, so when we added the four classrooms in the ag room, and that also was shortened up a little bit because of the supply. All the costs went up right in the middle of the project. So we never got the front office remodeled or the front entrance done. So that's kind of got pushed to the side, but we got the four classrooms and the ag room in, and we're working off of that.
So it's an ongoing thing, John, in terms of looking at this and what you need. More meetings coming up about it then?
Yeah, you know, at the moment we'll probably look at it. We'll start doing some more budget work on that. and talking to consultants, and we'll have more meetings coming up during our board meetings.
Community input is important, I'm sure, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll get some more information out, and this is kind of the start of the process, and then we'll get more information out as it comes.
We've talked to a lot of area districts, and a lot of them are kind of in the same boat as Riverdale as far as operating expenses. It's not something that's foreign to your district, John.
No, I mean, and then the boat that we're all in is that we have been receiving the CARES Act money, which we call ESSER. ESSER 3 is our last amount of money that we got from the federal government. But they gave us the ESSER money, and then they did not give us any state aid in a few years. The 2 years before that, and if you take the last 10 years, quote me on the numbers, but there were quite a few years they didn't give us any inflationary hikes. So that this year we're losing $600,000 of ESSER money. That was a one-time grant, if you want to say it that way. And so we're trying to recover that or make up the difference in that in our budget, and it's not happening.
How's Riverdale doing in terms of enrollment? Have you looked at some of those numbers for the future?
Well, enrollment is another number that directly affects your state aid. Declining enrollment, I think last year we had, what they do is they average 3 years worth of attendance, and then we always got 1 year dropping off, and you got 1 year coming on, and then they average those two numbers. It's steady. We get hit. I think we're 3 less students this year. The year before we were 19 less students. We project we'll remain steady for the next couple of years. We got a large 4K class coming in, so that will help us. But steady would be the word I would use.
I'm guessing it might be a good time to put in a plug for open enrollment, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I guess we feel we have a great campus. We got a great staff, and it's a great place to go to school.
I think you do, and I was there for your awards in May, right at the end of the school year, but your foundation does such an awesome job, and I'm sitting there listening to all the descriptions of the things that some of these teachers are doing and, you know, some of the projects they had, and I'm thinking, I want to go back to school here. I think some of these things would be fun to sit in on.
Well, speaking of our Riverdale Foundation, we have the Winter Carnival coming up, and that's an annual thing that comes up. It's scheduled for January 27th. And the foundation is a group of concerned citizens. Some are educators, some school board ex-school board members, and then they do some fundraising for us. And they help kind of supplement a lot of the teachers' budgets. So that's really helped us out. The other kind of cool thing we just had was we had an alumni day. It was our first annual alumni day, which we invited some alumni to come in and talk to our students in grades 9 through 12. And then we had lunch for them and invited the teachers and the alumni to come in. And we did this for two reasons. We did that kind of to keep the connections with the alumni students that sometimes we might be losing touch with, and then to kind of get our students a little bit maybe goal-orientated. And that kind of fits in our college and career goals. And, you know, it's like, hey, this student graduated from Riverdale, and now they're doing this, you know, so it gives them kind of a real-life example.
So it's very much like a career day, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a basic, it's just we focused it on alumni, and we quite often have, and that's, that was our big day, that we had a lot of them in, and then periodically we'll have others come in depending upon what teachers arrange in their classroom, so...
How nice it is for students to see that, hey, this person went here and now they're doing this in life. That's got to be a good and kind of maybe something to inspire them a little bit, right?
Yeah, it makes you realize kind of what tracks your students do after they leave. You know, it might be something totally different. You didn't expect them. A lot of them ended up in technology. One was a manager of a hospital. And, you know, just the ones I can think off the top of my head, it's like it's interesting to follow their path.
Yeah, most definitely. You mentioned the foundation event. What's the date for that again?
That is January 27th.
Okay. That's important for them. I know that's one of their major fundraisers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They've got two major fundraisers, the carnival, the winter carnival, and then they do a golf outing in the summer in Fenimore. So.
To raise money for all of the cool things going on in the classrooms. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do an excellent job of that, and it really does help supplement our budget. We have not raised our budget much because of that, and that's allowed us to do some things, which, you know, maybe something we have to address at a later date. But
Yeah, and you know, it isn't always a lot of money for some things. It's just like books or maybe a computer program that you need and things like that, that helps the teacher, you know, kind of expand what they want to teach, right?
They like to keep it focused on materials that help student learning, you know, and whatever that may be. They have a committee, they go through the applications, and then they award the grants accordingly. So they have a pretty slick process, and it's a smooth operating organization.
Hard to believe we're getting to that time of year in January, though, isn't it?
It's coming soon.
The school year does go by quickly. We'll have more from John Schmidt at Riverdale Schools coming up after this time out on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
No one ever plans to give the wrong gift. It's just that finding the right gift can be very hard. The key to finding the right gift is finding the right place to shop. Added Touch Floral and Gifts. Added Touch has so much more than fresh flowers. They have over 15 flavors of wine, from Eagle's Landing to Three Lakes. There's nothing better than to treat your special person than to flowers, candy bouquets, and wine from Added Touch Floral and Gifts. Your friendly full-service florist on Main Street, Richland Center, 647-2319, or on the web at addedtouchfloral.com.
The newly remodeled Family Thrift Shop is open for business and accepting donations during store hours Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 9 until 5 and Saturdays from 10 until 4. Come and shop locally where the profits from your donations and purchases stay in our community and help support other nonprofit organizations. We appreciate your support and look forward to seeing you at the Family Thrift Shop located at 120 South Main Street in downtown Richland Center.
If you want to own your own home, but you're worried about the hefty 20% needed for a down payment, listen up. With the help of Schultz Mortgage Team, you could be on the path to home ownership with as little as 5% down or even zero down. First-time home buyer? No problem. Schultz Mortgage Team can guide you through the entire process. USDA, VA, and VH programs may be right for you. Call Jason Schultz today at 608-604-5068. That's 608-604-5068. Schultz Mortgage Team, helping you make your ownership goals a reality.
This is the Compeer Minute, featuring Compeer Financial VP of Tax and Accounting, Eric Golixrud, who says some farmers are getting a surprise at tax time.
We do a lot of tax planning here at Compeer, and so we had quite a few people thinking that they probably weren't going to have a tax problem, but due to 2022 being, you know, a very good year for quite a few people, they did a lot of prepays. And so when you have prepaid 3 months of your feed bill into 2023, your expenses are actually down then. And so quite a few of them got shocked that they had to do as much prepay again this year, thinking that their income was going to be down. But due to some, you know, if they did a good job of marketing, and on the dairy side, we had people take using LGM and DRP and then the government payments. So all in all, 2023 isn't looking, you know, all that bad. 2024, running into 2024, price outlook is definitely not as good, that's for sure.
Visit Compeer.com to learn more.
John Schmidt, Riverdale Schools, our guest on The Morning Show today from WRCO, talking about all the great things going on in Chieftain Country. You've had some things going on here recently. You hosted an SWAL music event recently, John. How did that go?
It went well. Mr. Traxel had the in on Friday, had everybody come, all the local schools come in, and then they followed it up with a concert. So, I mean, he was running around. Although it looked very organized, and everything went off without a hitch.
So that's student students from all of the SWAL schools coming
there? Yep, every year a different school hosts the the concert, and they come in like on a Friday, they do the practice, and then they come in, practice some more, and then they'll end it with a concert on Saturday. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Honors Band. That's awesome. Your FFA, is that hard to keep up with what everything they're doing?
I couldn't even tell you unless I follow Facebook or what they're doing. I know they're doing a lot of farm visits, but they're very active, and they do a great job at what they're doing. And it's just, you know, they're like farmers. They're hard to keep up with. You know, one day they're doing this, the next day they're doing that. So.
You talked about the expansion. You know, you had the addition there, but how they've utilized that is just amazing, isn't it?
That, again, we're very appreciative of that, and that's that was, you know, from community support. We're able to get the Jack Meister Agriculture Center built out there, and the kids, I mean, we're using it. It's maybe not so much in the, you know, right now in January and February, but Mrs. Cole's got them out there. He's got the elementary kids out there hosting events, and it's awesome.
They had the harvest season last year, and they got a regular farm going on out there.
Yep, they do. They got it all in, and again, I couldn't tell if they got it sold yet or not. I know they were storing it and then watching the markets and seeing where they're at. I haven't talked to Mrs. Cole in a while, but I'll have to catch up with her.
You talk about life lessons right there. They're getting them, aren't
they? They're getting it, yeah. It's you know, you learn more by doing than you do by necessarily sitting and taking it in, so this gives them an opportunity to do a little bit of both, so.
On mornings like this, and your bus drivers are probably just getting them to school there, but you really appreciate your transportation department, don't you?
I really do, and everybody's working hard on that. You know, we go a little slower, you know, which I'd be patient. I know the road crews are working hard to get the roads cleared off. We're taking our time. We're trying to be as communicative as we can. And we've been very fortunate. We own our own buses. You know, and we talk about, you know, budget items, and, you know, we got to purchase a new bus every so often. We have 14 buses with 9 different routes. And people ask, well, yeah, 14 buses with 9 different routes. Well, you need extra buses because a lot of times routes and sporting events go out at the same time. You know, so that's why the number there. But we've always found that it's still more economically favorable to own your own buses and operate them on your own than it is to contract out. Although that's a yearly decision that we make because it's been more difficult to hire bus drivers, you know, and that's really the one thing that's forcing our hand on some of the things. We need local bus drivers, you know, and it's a great job. I do it part-time. I'm a sub, and it's actually, I look really forward to a lot of days where you can get out and you can see where everybody lives, and so if you're interested, if you've ever thought about doing that, please come talk to Pat Clark or myself, and we'll train you. We'll pay you to get trained, and it's a nice way to earn some extra income.
That's probably, and doesn't happen all that often, the administrators out filling in, driving bus.
Well, there's more than you think. They're not all on the radio saying stuff like that, you know. So there's more than you think they would do that, and I enjoy doing that. So, yeah, the point of it was just to say that if they're letting me drive, we need some help.
You're the bottom of the barrel, huh? That's the last one they ask. But I'm guessing that is. And, you know, we get into spring sports in a few months, and a lot of times those routes have to leave before the end of school, so you need extra drivers, don't you?
Yes, we do. You know, we did purchase, and we used a little bit of our CARES Act money, or ESSER money. For that, we purchased a 9-passenger van. So we got 2 9-passenger vans, so sometimes with the smaller groups of athletes, we can take 2 vans or 1 van, and that saves us from a bus, and it takes some pressure off the routes and the transportation staff at that time. But it gets busy in the spring.
14 buses, that's a lot of maintenance too. Do you do a lot of your own stuff there too?
At the moment, everything we can do in-house, we'll do in-house. Change tires, brakes, oil, anything major. We have a couple contractors that will send the buses out too, but yeah, we take care of as much maintenance as we can.
That many buses though too, like you say, you add a new one every once in a while, but it's kind of a cycle, you know. The oldest one, I suppose, you kind of, you know, move that one out and move.
Yeah, when we got kind of an older fleet, we purchased 3 here about 4 or 5 years ago within a 2-year span. I think the last time we ran a referendum, we did purchase one last year, and we need to probably purchase a couple more here in the near future just to replenish some of the other ones that are getting high in miles.
How are things going with the food services at Riverdale?
Food service is awesome. We've been able to maintain staff in that. The food is good. I know that's subjective.
You get a chance to try it.
Yeah, I think it's good, but they're working hard in there and keeping everything on time, and yeah, everything's working out smoothly.
Did you want to say anything about lunch accounts at Riverdale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Every year, especially around Christmas time, I guess I want to give a shout-out. Thank you for there's businesses and local donors that will send us some money to pay for unpaid lunch balances. So we've been able to sprinkle that in, and we're very appreciative of that. That's a big help to a lot of families.
That's awesome. So people just kind of anonymously give it there, and wherever it can be used, it can be used then.
Yep. And they usually come in here, you know, I'd like to give out a few dollars to help anybody that would need to pay lunch accounts, and that works out well. You know, and during COVID, it was a little bit of a change because they ran a program where lunches were free, but now they're no longer doing that.
Okay. So that makes up for it. How can people, if they're interested in it, they're hearing that, how do they give? They contact you?
Oh, contact the office. Contact the office of where your children go to school, either the elementary office or the high school office. And we are as confidential as we're very confidential. Sherry Troxel runs our lunch account, and she'd be the one to eventually talk to.
Let's kind of get back to where we started there with the referendum. Anything else you wanted to add in terms of that and, you know, the future here this year for Riverdale?
Well, I guess the one thing that I didn't mention when we're talking about budget-wise is, like, this always comes up here around the biennial budget for the state legislatures, is special education reimbursement. To kind of understand that every year we have to, the money we spend in special education, we have to transfer that amount back into our Fund 10 balance. To make up the difference and for what we don't get in state aid, like your Title I, Title II, and Title III. So they reimburse us at 32% at the moment. We normally transfer $1 million to the Fund 10 balance, which is our regular operating balance. So, you know, I guess whenever that comes up, you know, we always request a more reimbursement, a higher percentage reimbursement to help us with that issue. You know, we run anywhere between 23% and 26% of special education students, so that does add up.
Okay. So that's one of the things you're looking at, including in that referendum then, potentially?
Yeah, that's one of the factors of why we are struggling with our operating budget.
Are you going to plan some community meetings where people can get info and maybe contribute or anything like that?
Once we get the resolution and kind of get our facts straight a little bit, we've still got some numbers that hammer down, and we'll create a resolution. And, yes, definitely there will be some meetings that come out. It'll usually be during the summer. The resolution's got to be done in May. If we're going to run it in August, the resolution's got to be created by the end of May, and then we'll run some informational meetings throughout the summer.
It'd be a special election if it does occur in August. Then.
Yes, it would.
Okay, for the Riverdale District.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add today, John?
Nope, that would be it. I appreciate you inviting me up and talking.
I know. You got to get to school here pretty soon.
Yep, so. Going to start.
And then decisions. You know, you and I might be talking again in the next 24 hours.
I would imagine.
Yeah. We'll see one way or another. But they're pretty much sure of the storm coming in. Do you guys have like a weather person that you check with from time to time to see what's coming in, John?
Not really. No, we don't. We go out and drive the roads. We listen to the forecast, and you know, we listen to the other districts and what they're doing. But we're just like you. We listen to it on the news.
You've got quite a unique district in terms of where your buses go, too. You know, I mean, a lot of flatlands, and then there's some high ground and, you know, a little bit of everything, isn't there?
Ice seems to get us more often than not. You know, there's we get caught with some icy patches, and I'm sure everybody does, too. But it's just with the river and the moisture that comes up through there. There are sometimes we are dealing with ice on some of those ridge roads that causes a delay a little bit.
I think the Wisconsin River is kind of sometimes that's the line sometimes where you guys get it worse than we do here.
Yeah, it's its own environment there because you got that extra moisture, and you can see it like a lot of mornings with the fog that rises up off that in that river valley bottom. And then it's can be unpredictable.
They were talking 10 to 12 inches in the Muscadet area. You said that was probably true,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was, I saw some tape measures showing, you know, how much snow that was out in their decks. And so, yeah, we got quite a bit of snow, and there's quite a bit of snow forecasted for Friday.
Hats off to all of your workers that have to clear all that snow in your parking lots and walkways and everything. That's a lot of work, isn't
it? Yeah, I should shout out to Tim Redmond. He was out there this morning and getting things ready to go, and he puts in a lot of extra time during this time, too. So it's, We know it's coming, and we've done it before, so we'll be fine.
Push it back further, Tim. There's more on the way, right? Okay. John, thanks for coming in today.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
You bet. John Schmidt, District Administrator for the Riverdale School District.
From eco-friendly thermostats to energy-efficient lighting systems for your business, technology is making everything smarter. Good thing your Touchstone Energy Cooperative can help you make smarter work harder. Today, there are more ways than ever to make your world more energy efficient, and we can show you how. Take the next step to go electric and put the power of your co-op to work for you.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Meister Log & Lumber would like to remind all landowners with timber property that trees are a valuable asset. You can rely on Meister Log & Lumber Company to help you manage your property timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Wachowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Hi, my name is Brittany Penfield, and I am the 4-year-old kindergarten teacher at the Ithaca School District. I, along with the other Ithaca staff, want to give a warm welcome to families interested in having their child attend Ithaca Public Schools. We will be holding our annual developmental and 4K screening event, which gives school staff an opportunity to meet future students and address any possible concerns that families may have about their child's development. To be eligible to participate in screening, children must turn 3 years old or 4 years old on or before September 1st of 2024. Our screening days will be held on Thursday, January 25th and Friday, January 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Ithaca Elementary School. You may register online and sign up for a screening appointment by following two links located at the Ithaca Public Schools website, ithaca.k12.wi.us. You can also find Ithaca Public Schools on Facebook. When you arrive for your child's screening appointment, you will enter through the main office doors and be directed to our screening locations. While your child is working with our school staff, parents will have the opportunity to meet with reading specialist and instructional coach Andrea Newkirk and receive information about community resources for young children. Each screening appointment will take approximately 1.5 hours. If you have any questions about registration or signing up for an appointment, please call Brittany Penfield, 4K teacher, at 608-585-2311, extension 513. Additional information and forms will be sent to you prior to screening. We look forward to meeting you and your family at 4K screening.
Colton Wilson joins us here on WRCO Radio. Colton, it is that time of year again for Richland Center alumni basketball. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, last year we had actually 50 guys that came back, and whether they played or not, you know, we got to play Kenosha Indian Trail. That game was pretty crazy. We came back from a 20-point deficit, ended up being a 2-point loss to one of the bigger teams in the state and a really good one. And this year, looking forward to a little bit of the same.
Looking forward to having the alumni come back and be a part of it. Any names that you've heard from that are coming back that maybe weren't back last year?
Yeah, we actually have a couple guys new this year that weren't here last year. Nick Hallett, a graduate from 2003, he'll be coming back this year. And then a couple other guys, Keegan Dre, graduated in 2012, Denzel Connor, 2013. And then just some of the new guys that actually graduated last year, such as Drew Pauls, Tyson Anthony, and Lee Fingerson are also going to be coming back to play.
So how are you categorizing and dividing up the teams this year, Colton?
So Coach Pauls and I met, and we divided it by oldest to youngest, and then we kind of put them into four different teams as best we could. We kept them as even as we could as what we thought, you know, skill level was still at this time. So that's how me and Coach Pauls did that.
Do you recall last year who the most veteran players were?
Yeah, we actually had, let me bring that up. We had a couple guys from the 1990 class, I believe. Jamie Johnson was one of them. And we actually had a couple older guys. Jarrett McDonald played from that year, or I think he was in the 1980s. And then we had Bob Beggs and Matt Fink, who were 1986 and 1987 graduates. And they, I have to say, those three, Bob Beggs, Matt Fink, and Jared McDonald, they had to be three of the more in shape of the players from last year.
Oh, good for them. So you're going to be divided up into teams, and is it kind of a round-robin tournament, or do you just play a couple of games?
So what we'll do is we'll have we have the four teams, so we'll do two sort of semifinal games where we'll have, like, Team 1 play Team 2, Team 3 play Team 4, and then we'll follow it up with the losers will play each other, and then the winners will play each other.
It will be a full day of basketball, won't it?
Yeah, we'll have four games. We're going to run from about, I'd say, 1 to 1:15 will be our start time, and that should take us to about 5:30.
Are you doing some other things specially? I know last year you had some fundraisers. Are you doing that again this year?
So we didn't get the silent auction set up this year, but what we did is we do have, for our T-shirts that the alumni will be wearing, we did get T-shirt sponsors, and then also anybody that does play, they will give a $20 donation to the program as well, and we use those funds to cover, you know, our summer programs. We got new practice jerseys this year. We always need new basketballs, so that helps a long way.
Yeah, so it is a fundraiser, and when the alumni come back, they can rest assured that they are helping the current program then, aren't they?
Correct, yeah. We actually, so Saturday morning we'll have youth, so our high schoolers will be down at the intermediate school, and we'll be helping with the, I think we have close to 60 or 70 youth athletes from kindergarten through fourth grade, and then our high school athletes, some of them will be officiating, actually, the alumni game. So it's just fun to have, you know, players of the past get to see the program and the kids that are taking the banner and taking that Hornet name into the future.
Well, that's where it starts, isn't it? When you're talking about building programs and sustaining programs, you got to start at the youngest levels, don't you?
Yep, and it's awesome. We get to build excitement, you know, through the youth, through the middle school and high school levels, and then actually just hearing and talking to guys from last year and into this year, a lot of guys that just have been disconnected from the program for so long that they're asking, you know, questions about how the program's going, what's coming up and everything like that. So it does build a lot of excitement around Richland Center Hornet basketball.
So the alumni tournament last year, who won the event? Do you recall some of the players that were on that team?
I think actually last year we just did three different games because we had 48 guys. Our time frame was a little, it was very tight with us. I think our JV team tipped off at like 3 o'clock that day. So we couldn't do a full tournament last year, but we had, we actually got to split them by age level because we had so many guys. So we had three different games where we got to split by age level, and that was pretty interesting. I got to play with a bunch of guys that I played with in high school, so I think a lot of guys really enjoyed that.
The team that comes out and plays the best defense has got a shot, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, the younger guys get a little bit of an advantage there, because if they get out in transition, us older guys, it's tough for us to keep up.
You're not playing half court then, I take it?
Nope, full court all the way.
All right. So the public has got to be interested in this. Is it free and open to the public?
Yep, it's free, open to the public. The Booster Club will have concessions running, so we'll have, you know, food and drinks available. Last year, or throughout that 3 hours that we had the tournament, you know, there was a lot of people filing in and out, families, just some of the public in general. It was an awesome day. I expect a lot of the same today, or not today, but Saturday. And then afterwards, we're actually going to host a little bit of a social down at the bowling alley. So those who played, they can, you know, get to catch up with one another, not just being able to be on the court, but have time to talk, reflect, and just bring up old memories from being on the hardwood.
So have you called ahead and made arrangements with Greg and Amy at the Phoenix Center to have extra ice there for the bruises and the bumps and everything?
I haven't. Probably should. Probably should shoot Greg a text and just be like, make sure that ice maker is not broken.
You may need it. I think lots of fun stories and good camaraderie, and I just think it's just a good social time for everybody involved, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It was something that I know when I came on, back to the program 8 years ago, 8-9 years ago, that I really enjoyed when I was in school. They had it, they ran it for, it was a long time in a row, and then it kind of went away for a little bit. And we brought it back one year with Coach Ewing was there, and then the COVID couple years happened, and we tabled it. So it was really nice to, you know, get it back last year and then into this year. And it's just a great way to build excitement. It's a great way for our program to fundraise, and it's just an awesome event all around.
I think about those that have children, you know, their kids have probably never watched them play before. So it does become a fun family event, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, some of us still play in old men's league. We try to get up and down the court, but not all those times are the kids there. So yeah, it's really fun to see, you know, a lot of the little kids running around. They'll run up to dad on the court while he's playing, because they're not used to seeing dad out there struggling up and down the court, huff and win.
So if there's somebody listening that's a former player, or maybe parents or grandparents of a former player, and they haven't been contacted or whatever, you know, can they contact you or Coach Poles?
Absolutely. Feel free to contact me. My phone number is 608-604-2852. We ordered some extra shirts, so we do still have some available if anybody wants to put one on Saturday. But yeah, it's open to the public. We want to see as many former Hornets back every year as possible. And I get that a lot of former athletes, you know, they got younger kids and everything. So those weekends, whether they're in sports or anything, can be a little crowded, but we would love to see as many former Hornets as possible.
Excellent. Should be a fun time Saturday. And again, it begins around 1 at the Richland Center High School Fieldhouse, I understand.
Yep, correct.
All right, Colton, thanks for organizing this, and we appreciate you joining us here on WRCO.
No problem, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Colton Wilson here on WRCO.
Is it too late for me to become physically active? Should I take special precautions? Hi, this is Tracy at Simon's Recreation Complex. More and more older adults are proving that you are never too old to exercise. When starting a program, you should take some precautions. Check with your doctor before beginning an exercise program. Don't try to do too much too fast. Exercise in an intensity appropriate for you. Pick activities that are fun, that suit your needs, and can be done year-round. Wear comfortable clothing and footwear. Take more time to warm up and cool down before and after a workout. Stretch slowly. Simon's Recreation Complex is a participating member of the Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active programs, which are leading fitness programs designed specifically for older adults. Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active incorporates the above precautions in all of their exercise classes. Call or stop in today with your Medicare supplement insurance card. You may be eligible for a free membership to Simon's Recreation Complex, including all classes. Stop by today and learn why many of our adults refer to Simon's Recreation Complex as their personal fountain of youth. Let Simon's Recreation Complex show you how to increase your energy levels while decreasing the aches and pains of aging. Let Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center be your partner in change. Remember, you provide the commitment to fitness, and we have the means to make it happen.
7 minutes before 10 o'clock here at WRCO Radio, 23 degrees, and that haze has kind of settled back in after some really incredible blue skies there early today. Our community conversation continues here on WRCO with an update about a special event going on at a really cool place not too far away, the Deke Slayton Memorial Space and Bicycle Museum in Sparta. Joanne Krulat has an update about an upcoming event at that location. That's coming up next.
Hi, I'm Coach Jamie Johnson, and I've added health coaching to my resume. I would encourage you to listen to the January 2nd morning show titled Health and Weight Loss in the New Year and hear my story, or reach out to me personally at 608-604-7751. That's Jamie Johnson, 604-7751, or find me on Facebook. Whether you're looking to jumpstart your weight loss, looking to lose a lot of weight, or get active and gain muscle, our program offers it all across the spectrum. We now even support those who receive the shot for medically supported weight loss. Reach out before January 31st for personal scholarships.
Sharing space with Deke, a live virtual conversation with astronaut Vance Brand. That's the next event at the Deke Slayton Memorial Space and Bicycle Museum in Sparta. I'm Joanne Krulatz here today with Alyssa Young, Executive Director at the museum. Now, you know, a lot of people might say, what does space and bicycles have in common?
Well, we outline the progression of transportation. The Wright brothers, before they started inventing airplanes, actually had a bicycle shop and used a lot of bike components in their design for the Wright Flyer. Also, with Sparta being the bicycling capital of America, with the Elroy Sparta Bike Trail being the first in the Rails to Trails program, where defunct railroad lines are turned into bike trails, and then into space with Deke Slayton, who was from Leon and went to Sparta schools.
So there is a component there that makes them all connect.
Yes.
So you also have special programs throughout the year, and you have one coming up this month featuring an astronaut, don't you?
We do. We've started a series called Sharing Space with Deke, and this one that we will be having on Saturday, January 27th at 5:30, we will be talking with Vance Brand, who was on the Apollo-Soyuz test project mission with Deke.
So what will the program entail?
We will be speaking with Vance Brand on Zoom. He currently lives in California and is 90 years old, so he doesn't travel a lot. But he has agreed to talk to us live on Zoom. And so anyone who wants to attend can either come to the museum and participate and watch on our big screen, or they can participate also on Zoom. So anyone from around the world can join us.
Is there a cost to attend?
It's $10 for a ticket. And those can be purchased on our website, which is DeekSlaytonMuseum.org.
And it will be virtually, but we can also attend at the museum?
Correct. We have a very large screen here at the museum, so if people wanted to do that here, they are welcome, or they can participate at their house on Zoom.
Now, if we want to attend there, do we still have to register in advance?
You could come and pay the day of, but for Zoom, you have to buy tickets by 3 o'clock on the 27th of January.
What will his program entail?
Oh, I have a list of questions to ask Vance about, for example, going from Deke being his boss, because Deke was the one who would have hired Vance Brand and oversaw his training and all of his work at NASA, and then going to being a crew member with him through all their training and then into their mission.
Is there an age limit for, you know, this? Who would basically, would this interest?
There is not. Anyone who would like to attend is welcome.
Well, I appreciate your time, Alyssa. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you'd like the listeners to know?
I think we have it pretty well all covered. I'm really excited to be talking with Vance Brand. I think he'll have a very interesting perspective of Deke as a person, as a boss, as a crewmate. So I think it'll be very interesting.
Well, I appreciate your time. You have a good day and hopefully a good new year.
The Richland Center Rodeo Committee hopes you'll plan to attend the 10th annual 8-pin tap bowling tournament at the Phoenix Center Sunday, featuring two shifts, 11 and 2, $15 per person. There's a sign-up sheet at the Phoenix Center, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a bake sale. Come and have a good time and have some fun. For more information, call Dean Reinhardt at 608-604-4692. And don't forget, the State Rodeo Finals in Richland Center will be June 14th through the 16th.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center. AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Closing arguments have started in New York in former President Donald Trump's civil fraud trial. Earlier, there was a bomb threat at the home of the judge. Arriving in court, Trump says he is being muted.
At this moment, the judge is not letting me make the summation because